So, we actually have tonight one of the really massive topics that comes out of Yayin Nesach. Not explicitly a Yayin Nesach issue, but it comes out specifically out of these halachos, and that actually becomes the paradigm for several other areas of halacha, for reasons that you'll see soon. So let's take a look at this is not actually quoted in the Tur, to the best of my knowledge, but it is quoted in the Beis Yosef. So Ches, with the parentheses Aleph, right? We did Zion last week. I'm not sure we did it in the Beis Yosef. I think we did. So there's a Ches parentheses Aleph, then a Tes, and then a Ches parentheses Beis.
Yes.
Comes after Zion, and it comes before Yud.
Where are we? Ches parentheses Beis?
No, we're in Ches parentheses Aleph. Because of Rabbeinu Yeruchim.
Okay.
So Rabbeinu Yeruchim writes the following, B'shem Rabbeinu Meir, right? The Mashuch V'or Laso, Eino Ose Yayin Nesach. Right, that he says that a mashach, or what is a mashach or lasso? So that is a person that has some kind of surgery or some kind of procedure to pull out his orla, right? To re-foreskin himself, right? So this, there is a sugi in Yevamos that talks about this at length. So a person who does that, right? What do we consider him? What do we say about his wine? So the Tashbeit says that we don't make his wine Yayin Nesach. We don't penalize him in that way. The Nisach ain't a tali b'mila, right? Because Nisach Hamayim isn't tali whether the guy had a bris or not. Shere Meshuvan Mohel, v'hu ose, v'hu, right? V'hu ose Yayin Nesach b'mago, right? If a Meshuvan, if a Christian or a priest, right, would go and... A meshuman moel who, right? Ose yayin nesach, right? Even if he is, right? Sorry, he's the guy who goes off. Okay, who ose yayin nesach b'mago, right? So he's the one who makes wine. Even if he has his bris, he doesn't go become a mashuch or lasso. He'll still cause yayin nesach in his touch, right? V'ze afal pisha nimshacha or lasso libo l'shamayim, right? And this, even though he pulled out his orla, right? Still, his heart is tishamayim. Right? V'chein kasav sefer orchos chayim, v'chasav otsham dafil meshumad lo arelos mutter k'di isa perka arel. Even if he is a meshumad for that, whatever that means, he did that for, I guess, religious reasons. I guess that's what it means.
He specifically refused to have a bris,
right?
No,
or he. Well, meshumad lo arelos, right? That he refused to have a bris for those reasons.
How would he be? Okay, all right.
What? Which one? We're not going to penalize him and call his wine to be Yayin Nesach. Okay, that's the Rabbeinu Yeruchim.
So this is somebody who just refused to have a bris. This isn't someone who...
Either way, either he covered up his bris or he refused to have one in the first place on philosophic grounds.
When he was 8 days old.
No, on philosophic grounds.
That's what I was trying to figure out.
So on philosophic grounds, he refuses to have a bris. So, okay, so that's it. So we're not going to declare his wine to be Yayin Nesach. Okay, that's not so crazy. Tess is when the Chiddush then jumps in. Right? Kasav Harash Harav Shimon Bar Tzemach. Right? Al Ha'anusim. Right? Who are the Anusim? The Anusim or the Maranos. That's what he's referring to. Right? So Maranos, b'tchilas ansam, in the beginning of their Maranohood. Right? Sha'afa pishi cholun livroach. Right? Even though they had, in these people, so it's one thing to be totally forced. It says, well, they had a chance to run away. Right? So even though they might have had a chance to run away, imish shum tzad litlos ikuvam sham, if there is any reason why they stayed there, if they hefsid mamon, or if they davar acher, either because it would cost too much money to leave, or for whatever other reason they didn't want to leave, inum osrim b'magam. Right? We're not going to declare their wine to be Yayin Nesach. Right? So these are people that are forced on the outside. I'm not sure. He doesn't explain what exactly they're doing, but they're doing things because they're forced to do it. Right? And they're Maranos. And so they're forced to do it, so we're not going to declare their wine to be Yayin Nesach either. However, v'imshachu yayin liYisrael b'cheskas kasher mutter, right? And if they send wine to a Jew, that's assumed to be kasher, it's permissible. V'ein choshishin shema lo hikbidu al magagai. And we're not concerned that they weren't strict about a guy touching it. Right? So you got a bottle, a wine from, Weinberg's Spanish wine company in the year 1498, You know, I don't know if they have to change their names or not, right? Weinberg the Catholics wine company. So it comes in it comes off the boat, and oh, look at that! It's from my friend Weinberg. I remember him. He was Jewish. Oh, he was such a tzaddik. There's no way, right? And we assume that he and this little insignia on it that says, you know, Murano, I don't know, right? So so one has the right to say. One has the right to say, okay, well, probably they're still religious, they're still Jewish, they're still religious, they're just forced to act different ways on the outside, so that wine is still going, we'll be able to have that wine. That is the opinion of the Rashbats, the Tashbates, what's known as the Tashbates, or Shimon Bar Tzemach. V'harivash kasav, the Rivash writes, however, Shanusim osam shelo hayu yotz mifnei shelo ayalehem mamon sheyaspik lahotzos. Right? If Muranos couldn't leave, well, they weren't Muranos yet. They were Jews before 1492, couldn't leave, was they didn't have the money to go. Right? Tzarech lahem uvnei veitam, that they needed for them and for their family. Behemis akvim ad yiftechu lahem shari hatzala, and they were going to wait there until they got some other way out. Right? Uvein tayim nisharim mehaverus zulas v'makum sakana inam psulim. Right, and in the meantime, while they're there, they made sure they avoided all prohibitions that wouldn't put them into danger. Right, meaning they're Muranos. Right, umikol makom. So they're not puzzled. I mean, we're not going to rule their wine a problem. Umikol makom though, in yichom lizar b'magagoy, they're not able to be careful from a guy touching it. So it sounds like there's some kind of process. Right, we can't assume that a non-Jew didn't get their hands on that wine at some point. That's what he seems to be saying, right? Afatom shabem, even the good ones of them, right? Right. Therefore, because they are chashud, we are concerned that they we are not going to trust them about their own wine. Vafil b'shvua, even if they took a oath, right? Why he's being so? I don't know. I mean, once he's the Rivash inside, you can see exactly what he's referring to. But he's going with the assumption that either that there was some kind of non-Jew involved. Right? Hakol ne'manim al shalachirim she'in adam. However, aval ne'manim al shalachirim, they would be believed about someone else's stuff. Why? She'in adam chotei kidei she'yenu chaveru. Because the person is not going to sin in order for their friend to benefit from it. Right? So you have here a machlokes, right? You have the Tashbates saying that, well, yeah, these people coming from this wine comes, we know that they're Jewish, but somehow we know that they're still religious. So that's it, their wine is fine. Even if they are going to Mass on Sundays. Right, but then you have the Rivash saying, no, if it's coming from there, there's no way that the wine is okay. We're not going to trust that wine, and unless somebody comes and says his wine is okay, right? That would be the only exception that he has to the rule that he quotes there at the end.
Could be that they're not able to touch the wine. They're supposed to be clean themselves.
Right, but who's... Right, so it must be something like that. Now, there's only, he says, even Beshua, that's a little questionable. Not sure. All right, so that's the part that threw me off a little bit. I mean, are we chashed them, or are we chashed the situation? I'm not sure. Okay, and then he continues on, it says, Ches Beis, so he has the following idea. Kasu v'shivli haleket. So the Shivli Haleket writes as far as Rishon, Meshumet Shenoga B'Yayin, right? So this apostate, right? He touches wine, Va'amar Achar Kach Shnis Gayer, Vino Levin Atzmel, and then says, you know what, I'm just kidding, I'm coming back. V'hiter Ri Hayayin, right? V'nei Shehifkid Kiso B'Shavis. And the Ri permitted his wine, why? Because they saw that he put his purse on the side for Shabbos. He didn't carry his wallet on Shabbos, right? Or his car keys vistama, and his cell phone didn't ring in shul, right? So therefore, that's probably sufficient to say that he's really serious. He really came back. That's the opinion of the Shivli Halakot. Rabbeinu Shimon Bar Rav Avram, Shimshon Bar Rav Avram, right? Known to his mother as the Rashba, but like to no one else, I guess. Rashba was claimed by somebody else. Shimshon Bar of Avram, Asur, he said no. Mishum de'ikul meimar de'yerume ma'arim. Right, because he could say that. Well, he could say, why? I suppose he puts his wallet to the side. Maybe he's just trying to fool us, right? He wants to be a mishumud, but yet wants to stay in the Jewish wine business, right? Because they're meaning b'sanhedrin. Bahu tavcha de'nafak treifa mitusi adeha. Right, with that. The tafka is the butcher, right? That butcher that sold treif meat left his hands, Right, this is from the Shabbos Shuvat Rasha this previous year. Right, the different ways discussed it also between and Chamarav. Right, the ways a person does tshuva. Right, so how can a person gain his hechsher back? Right, so a tafcha who sold treif meat, so we catch him. So is he ever possible for him to do tshuva? So he says, well, yeah, he just gotta do tshuva. So they say, well, how do you know that he's not being ma'arim? How do you know he's just trying to fool us? The Gemara asks. So you're right. He has to go to some other town, and he has to dress in black, and he has to return something to somebody else that he otherwise would have been able to make money off of himself. Right, and that's how we know that he's really done tshuva. Okay, fine. What else does it say? Over Orchos Chaim Kasuv Yisrael Meshumad Yeno Yainesach Achi Yishuv Betshuva V'Neman Lomer Nizkayarti. Orchos Chaim, however, says that no, that Yisrael Meshumad, his wine is considered Yainesach until he comes back, and he's believed to say that he comes back. Okay, now what exactly that means is going to be discussed in the Shulchan Aruch / Shach.
Why is this called Nizkayarti?
Yeah, right. So there is a concept in Shulchan Aruch. There is such a concept, yes. Yes, in Shulchan Aruch that idea is there. That concept that maybe one should even go to the mikveh, yes. I believe it's definitely out there, and I believe it's even made the pages of Shulchan Aruch. I'm not sure right now. Okay, I think that's enough here. There is this Rashba that's important, which I have some trouble working out. So maybe we'll now go on to the Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch appears in Kuf Chaf Dalet Sif Tes / Sif Tes. Okay, so in Kuf Chaf Dalet Sif Ches, it says, Mishoch Bor Laso, right, that guy, Eino Ose Yayin Nesach, right, so he doesn't make Yayin Nesach. Okay, that's really the end of that first part there. The Shach just says in, because Nisach isn't just about Mila, right, Raka Ove Kochavim, right, Vizesh Shini Mishoch Bor Laso, Libu L'Shamayim Sham, right, has to do with Avodah Zarah, right, so this guy, so he did a chait, right? He might have his heart to the heavens that he might do this. He might have a desire to do that sin. So he succumbed, but it doesn't mean that all his wine is going to be yayin nesach. Umumar now. Afal pishu mahol osa yayin nesach b'mago. Now a mumar, who is a mumar, right? A mumar. It doesn't say meshumad, right? A mumar is somebody who kind of denies God, so to speak, right? So, and there's Mumar afal pishu mahol osa yayin nesach b'mago, b'neman lomer sheshav b'tshuva, right? And he's believed to say that he did tshuva. Okay, so if you recall, right, we had a machlokus in the Beis Yosef about that, right? So that is actually quoted here by the Shach, right? So the Shach and Sif Tesvav raises it, says the following, V'neman lomar, and he's believed to say that he did tshuva. So, V'zel l'shono ha-Beis Yosef, and he quotes to the Beis Yosef, Kasa b'shuv le'aleket, Mumar sh'nogu b'yayin v'om, right, Shach Tesvav, right, we're good?
Okay, no
more. Alright, so, V'zel l'shono ha-Beis Yosef, Kasa b'shuv le'aleket, Mumar sh'nogu b'yayin, V'omar achar kach sh'niz gayer, Beinu levein atzma, right, that he touches the wine, and he said afterwards that he was misgayer, Beinu levein atzma, right, V'hiter ri hayayin mifnei shehifkid kisu v'shab. So the Re believes him because they saw that he was doing other things that are religious. He put his wallet on the side on Shabbos. V'rashba, it's interesting, it goes to the Rashba, but it wasn't, there was Rav Shimshon ben Adaret, right? Anyways, Rashba asu mishum di'ika lemeimar yiru mikamarim, right? That we're concerned that he's trying to trick us. Uve orchos chayim kasav yisro mumar levodos kochavim yeinu yayin nesach. His wine's considered yayin nesach. Atche yashiv b'tshuva until he does tshuva. V'neman lomer niskayarti. He's believed to say niskayarti. So comes the Shach and asks, V'kasha l'chora amai pasaka mechaber kog orchos chayim. Right? Why is the mechaber being makil, right, like the Orchos Chaim, like this last opinion that, oh yeah, as long as he does tshuva, we believe him. Right, the Hari V'Rashba, Pligi Aleha. Right, they argued on him. Right, Now, they argue with them to different extents. The Rashba said, we don't believe him at all, right? We believe if he says he did tshuva, he's just tricking us, we have no way of knowing, right? The Ri was a little more tricky, right? The Ri was saying that, well, we believe him because we see other signs that he's religious, right? So, but both of them are being more machmir than the Orchos Chaim, right? The Orchos Chaim was just saying, well, the guy said, oh, I gave all that up a while ago, right? And he seems to say, oh, yeah, we'll believe him right away. So why is that? Right, the efshar mashmalei the heim lo mayri elahecha de naga biyayin va'achar kach amar nisgayer aval yim kodem lachein amar shenisgayer eno ose yayin nesach. Right, that well, it could be that the Ri and the Rashba were only machmir where the guy touched the wine and we ask him, hey, you're the guy I saw you in the church down the block last week. No, and then the guy responds and says, oh no, I've been nisgayer. Right? I did tshuva since then. Oh, okay. So that's the case that the Ri and the Rashba said, no, we need a little bit more evidence. But if the guy comes and says, I was Niskayer, right? So, and then we believe him. And then he walks down the street into the pub, right? And makes kiddush, right? So then we'll believe him because he said Niskayer beforehand. Right? So that's distinction number one, right?
But not the Ri and
that even the Ri would allow, right?
Okay.
Right, so in a way that ends up being a big kula, right? We'll get to the second answer in a second, right? But that is a kula, right? Do we believe him to say that he did tshuva? Yeah, we'll believe him. I guess it's a little bit of a chumrah just from reading the straight Shulchan Aruch, right?
He's believed to say... To bring it up first.
He's believed to say he did tshuva, provided that he... either that there is other evidence, okay, but he's provided to say that he did tshuva and then go and touch wine, but not necessarily that that we would believe him about wine that he had already touched. Okay. And then he says, V'yosir nira, however, the Shach says, L'chalik, that I want to distinguish in the following way and say, D'hechad yadua shahaya mumar, D'b'chai gav d'mairi harashba inu neman lomer shenisgayer. Right? Everybody knew that the guy was going to church, right, then he's not believed to say Niskayer. Afal hecha de eno yadua, but if nobody knows, shahaya mumar, nobody had an idea. Afal gav de eno yadua, gamkein shahaya Yisrael, even though we didn't know that he was Jewish either, right? Afal gav de eno yadua, gamkein shahaya Yisrael, neman lomar tshuva asisi b'migu, right? We would build trust him to say, I did tshuva. Right? A guy comes in and says, you know, I once did a avodah zarah, but now I did tshuva, right, and he's got payas and a beard, right? So we'll believe him, right? Well, okay, right? That fits, right? Because he could have just shown up and said, "I'm a chassid like everyone else from Borough Park," right? From the fact that he said, "I'm for that he just because he gave it right, what we call amigu, right? Amigu is he could have just lied. He could have lied and said, "I've been Jewish all my life," right? From the fact that he said, "I wasn't and now I am." Right, so we're going to believe him that the Ibai Amar Miolam lo himir. Plus, he could have said, "It never happened." Right, the Yisrael who the Chai Gav Namayr. That's the case we're talking about. Amayri Haorchus Chayim Bahamachaber. V'chein Kasev Aposkim and Sim Rish. The same thing exists by a ger. Right, if a ger shows up and says, "You know, I wasn't Jewish, and now I was Mizgayer." Right, a person shows up in shul, right, and says, "You know." You know, you're Jewish? Yeah, right? So we believe him, right? If a guy shows up in shul and says, you're Jewish? Yeah, I actually wasn't, and now I am, right? We'll believe him about that also, because he could have just said that I was Jewish the whole time, right? Which is why when I have to sign these letters to people making aliyah or whatever that to certify that they're Jewish, so at least... So I according to the Nefesh B'Nefesh rules, right, I would just write... I hereby certify that these people are kosher according to Torah, that these people are Jewish according to Torah law. Right? Because Torah law says that the guy says, I'm Jewish. You can trust them that they're Jewish. Right? Doesn't really have to go and do any checks. Once the Rabbanut gets involved, right? So then then it's a bit of a problem, right? So I got my first, a couple months ago, I got called on it for the first time. I got an email from somebody in Israel saying that I know him. It wasn't somebody works for Tzohar, actually, saying, so when you wrote this letter for this person, did you actually, like, check? Or did you just write it? So I said, no, I just wrote it. Like that's, but I wrote, so he wrote, yeah, you shouldn't do that. So I wrote back, you know, in my defense, I did check with the Nefesh B'Nefesh office, and that's the person who was only making, you know, and they said that's all I needed to do. So, well, that's the Nefesh B'Nefesh, we're different, but I didn't realize that that was only an Aliyah letter, right? If it's an only an Aliyah letter, so then I understand it, then he didn't feel so bad for me. Okay.
This was something else.
This is a convert, you have to check out the conversion process, whether it was with an Orthodox rabbi, and what are you talking about? What did you check out?
I mean, no. This person wasn't a convert. This person was just a Jew, right? So I wrote a letter. This person is Jewish according to Torah law. So the person wrote back. The person in Israel said, like,
what more is there?
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, do you know that? Like, do you? No. When it comes to a wedding, there is a halacha that you have to look back. It's not right when you when you what? What's it to make aliyah? Right?
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But to actually, the rabbinate is going to have higher standards. Yeah.
So you have to go back home. Do you go back to the parents?
And then no, I left it. It was his problem. I don't know.
I understand, but
So
do such a thing.
So what they will do often, the first thing they'll do is ask you for your parents' ksuba. That's the most obvious thing, and see which rabbi would marry them. If it's an Orthodox rabbi, so you can really look it up.
Like years. I mean, how am I going to get my parents' ksuba again?
Are you nervous?
No. I have kids getting married, I guess.
No. So your kids will look at your ksuva.
Okay.
All
right. So
right? Sometimes they'll go to a cemetery, you know, they'll get a picture of a gravestone or something.
Oh,
and that would be another way of...
Awesome.
It's another easy way of doing it. And then there's more complicated ways of doing it.
Oh, anyway.
Okay.
So rabbi gets involved.
So that was all halacha number one. Halacha number two then gets into these anusim, right? These meranos. So what's the story with these anusim? So anusim, afilu hatovim shebehem, inam yichol nizar mimaga ovikuchavim. So anusim, even the good ones, right? This is back in the Shulchan Aruch, right? Even the good ones like, that we kind of know, right? They can't, right? He passes like the second opinion of the Beis Yosef, right? They can't keep track of what touches of touching from non-Jews. They're not going to trust them. I feel b'shuyun if they take yeshuah. But they'll be believed about other people. Comes the Ramah and says, "Vein osrin yain b'magon," and we're not going to prohibit their wine if they touch it. V'dafka otsam shadarim adayin bena ovde kochavim. He says, "Dafka those that are still stuck there, right in Spain." Or
the Hagos is ein osrin yain b'magon.
Right, we're not going to prohibit their wine by touching. I mean, the Mechaber agreed to that. The Mechaber is just saying that if this bottle of wine comes out of Spain and says Goldberg's wine on it, right, we can't just assume that because Goldberg was a Frumayid, right, that now his wine is still fine and nobody touched it along the way. But if Mr. Goldberg comes out, right, and he still looks like a Frumayid, right, so then he's not going to prohibit it by touching. We just assume that it's going to happen, right? So Venus and Yain Bamagan, Vidafka Osam Shadar Madai, Bina of the Gokhavim, Osam Averus, Befrahesia, right? They do things publicly if they own us, because they have to. Rak Bitsinan is Harim, but they're careful in private. Vefsher Lehem Livroach al Nafsham, Rak Shemasninim Mishum Mamon Okiotsven. They can leave, but they have to stay for some money or something like that. Avalim Overin Gam Bitsina al Averus, but if they also violate prohibitions in private as well, Afal Pisha Asu Mitchila Ba'ones, Harim to Ovdi Kochavim. Even if in the beginning they did it by accident, so we're going to consider them Ovdi Kochavim. Right? So that's going to be a problem. Meaning, even if they do prohibitions when they don't need to, so they're not going to be, then they're considered mumrim like the other ones. Okay, so what comes out from this section here is a massive idea, right? That all of a sudden people that are mumrim, we're going to treat them as non-Jews when it comes to touching wine. Now there are a few other areas of halacha where this comes up, but people seem to be very focused on this. So this morning, my kids have a habit of going and taking my tradition journals and my
RJJ journals, and you know, she likes to take it to sleep with her. She likes the colorful colors, and this has been a cause of much distress in my house when I need that article, you know, and I'm looking around for it. So this morning I happened to walk into Shira's room, and this journal of tradition was laying on the floor, fall 2011. And the bottom article, every tradition is highlighted by an article by Rabbi J. David Bleich on something going on in the news. And in that journal article, a survey of recent halachic periodical literature, right, these articles are what becomes the Contemporary Halachic Problems books. Right? May a Sabbath desecrator drink wine. That's the kasha. Right? So that is even a deeper kasha, right? Because what is A, there's the issue of do they cause my wine to be a problem? But this, what's the second problem? The second problem is, let's say the person is a Machal Shabbos, right? Are they allowed to drink their wine? Right? So I remember one year we were getting ready to learn Hilchos Pesach in our chapter shiurs before Pesach. So every year a couple of, he would give a few shiurim on Hilchos Pesach, and the first thing he said about Hilchos Pesach was that one year he had this retired non-Orthodox rabbi by his house, and he starts pouring wine for him, and he explains to him, you know, the reason I'm pouring wine for you is because it's the idea of derech cheres, the idea of freedom, and he showed, you know, therefore you shouldn't pour your own wine, I'm going to pour for you. And so that's, I mean, lucky, that's a very nice minute, but the real reason is I didn't want him touching any of my wine, right? I didn't want this guy touching any of my wine. So the truth is that, A, is that necessary?
I thought you were going to say, so let me pour for you.
Right. So he got it. Yeah, apparently that wasn't, the guy didn't think of it. Okay, so but listen to this shaila that he opens up with here. This is wild. This is like a Tisha B'Av shaila. Writing in a Nisan, the European Torah Journal, Rav Baruch Gnud examines the question of whether a Sabbath desecrator may drink wine that he himself has touched. There are oral reports of a similar question having been posed decades ago to Rav Meir Dan Plucky, renowned as the author of the Chemdas Yisrael and the Kli Chemda, during his visit to the United States in the 1920s to raise funds on behalf of the Masifta in Warsaw. Can we figure out what the cash is? Ready for this? An immigrant who has been a ritual, he was a shochet in Europe, but in America was reduced to earning a livelihood in the needle trade, approached that rabbinic figure with an intriguing question. He had qualms with regards to the proficiency and reliability of local shochet, right? He didn't trust any of the local shochet, as you all know, the 20s was a problem, and wished to know whether he might slaughter fowl for his own consumption, right? So, I'm not a professional shochet anymore, maybe I should chach my own chickens. The problem was that he supported himself and his family by working on Shabbos. Right? And a Machal Shabbos is disqualified from serving as a Shochet. Although each of the two questions involved a somewhat different set of issues, there are factors common to both. Wait, what was the two questions? Oh, right. Can a Shabbos desecrator may drink wine that he himself has touched, right? So, and then it's a similar question as this guy. He actually had a... What? He has here in the first footnote of, like, you know, 112. But the first footnote, he says there was a second kasha that this guy, this old shochet who became the needle trader, that he asked, and that is that the reason that you don't put tefillin on Shabbos is because Shabbos is considered an os, right? So therefore the fact that the reason you don't put on tefillin is because Shabbos takes care of the sign. If you're being Machal Shabbos, then maybe I should put on tefillin also. Right, and this is, like, you know, well known. This is not breaking news.
Yeah, I've heard that question.
Okay,
yeah.
So he says quickly here he doesn't think so. Right, but this is not. You know, this is a. It's well known that the Hashkam minions in America were started for people who need to go to work. He actually records here, someplace in here. It's pretty not that long an article, but you know, not long by his standards, but still somewhat lengthy. Someplace in here he has that even into that he was in, like, South America or something like that, and he found himself in the one Orthodox shul in the town, the county, the country or something, and the only Shabbos morning minion was 7 a.m. And this is in the 70s, right? And so, you know, that was going on for a while. So anyways, that brings us, so he quotes here, it goes through the issue of what is the story with a mumer bizman hazeh? Now, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Chulin, right, that the only person who's considered not reliable Jewishly is somebody who's what we call a mumer l'chol Torah kula. Right? He says, if you're a mumer for a particular thing, I have this burning desire to eat cheeseburgers. Right? So you're not considered a mumer, right? You're considered a mumer for that thing. Because, however, if you're a machal Shabbos b'far Hesya, or if you're an Ovdei Avodah Zaris, then you're considered a mumer l'chol Torah kula. So what if the story? If you are mechal shabbos before hesia, right? So that should qualify you as a mumar, and therefore your wine should be prohibited, right? Therefore your wine should be prohibited. Oh, it's actually towards the end of the section here where he points out that the following kasha. So he says, so that shaila of the, you know, of the from mechal shabbos of the 20s, so that pretty much has fallen away. He says, what about the following idea? What if a person has a non-religious family member that comes to their house for a Shabbos meal, right? And you want them to have a drink of wine, right? So is it then a problem for you to give them wine because they're going to be violating Lifnei Iver? You're going to be violating Lifnei Iver by them drinking the wine. Right, so he has that line there at the end, like, the best thing is to solve all these problems by just having a bushel of wine. Okay, fine, that's no fun, right? You can't have a 20-page article making that argument. So I just threw a couple of tshuvas, right, of famous tshuvas on the topic, put them on this page that we gave out. So the most famous tshuva on this is probably from the Sefer Binyan Tzion, right? Binyan Tzion is of Yaakov Ettlinger. Yaakov Ettlinger, of course, was the bar plukta with Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, right? Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was the one who wanted to build the base of Migdash, right? The Binyan Tzion, Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, named his svarim, the Binyan Tzion, because the first several tshuvas are arguing on Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer's idea to rebuild the base of Mikdash. Apparently, he quotes in this article that apparently Rav Yaakov Ettlinger was a student with Rav Isaac Rice. Anybody remember Rav Isaac Rice? Rav Isaac Rice, come on. He had a sermon on him a couple of years ago. He was the Rav who came to America to be a rabbi. He was the Rav in Baltimore, right? Then he got fired and got back. Okay, so anyway, so that he has the tshuva about a srogim from the Caribbean. But anyways, it's that era. It's the early 1800s. So he's discussing this issue, right? And the first two paragraphs are describing the idea of, explain what we just said, that if a mechal shabbos for hesia, technically is somebody who's going to be a mumar, a full sarakula, and therefore his wine is not going to be allowed, based on this Ran who says that explicitly. He says, however, the paragraph that has the underlines, where he says, vihinei, he says, ad kod reinu me'ikar adin, ich ladun mechal shabbos for hesia. He says, until now, we have discussed, right, the pure law about how to judge a mechal shabbos for hesia. Aval leposhe Yisrael shebizmanenu, right? It says our mechal shabbos, right? Lo yadana ma'adun behem achar shebevonus harabim, right? I don't really know what to do with them, right? Because in our great sins, pashta habeheres lerov, right? The beheres, right, is the mole has now covered the majority. Right, until the majority of Jews are Mechal Shabbos, right? Mechal Shabbos, Shechter used to say, Mechal Shabbos for Hesia used to be the outlier. It says, now we're the outliers, right? We're the ones that are the exception to the rule. So that's actually number one, right? That's reason number one to distinguish, right? Imlo Yeshlehem Din Omer Mutter Shirak Karv Lemezidhu. A. B. V'yishbehem Shemispalim Tefila Shabbos U'mekachshim Kiddush, right? There are plenty of them who will daven, right? They'll come to shul, they'll make kiddush, right? And then they'll go and be mechal shabbos from malachus to raisa with the rabban, right? And then they'll go and violate shabbos. Barei mechal shabbos nechshav kumumar bavad, right? But a mechal shabbos is considered like a mumar mifnei shakofer b'shabbos kofer b'bria. But the person that denies shabbos denies the bria of a borei, right? Of a borei and the creator. The zem moda, the feel of a kiddush, right? We think kiddush is. Kiddush is being moda to the creator. Right? Umal gam bivneim esher kam with hafeim esher lo yadon velo shamanu dini shavas shedomen mamish lo tzedukim, right? The lo nachbashu kim mumrim, right? So these people, they just don't know, and therefore they're more like tzedukim than like mumrim, right? So it's tzuki. We don't see that it's tzuki would cause the wine to be a problem, right? So we're just doing what they think is right, right? They don't deny Hashem. And these are famous words. They're like a baby that is captured amongst the non-Jews. Let's skip a little bit. And it says, V'lachain, the punchline, the fiyan is nicely, Hamachmir lahachshiv negiyas yayin shel haposhim alalu l'stam yinam tavo lav bracha. He says a person that is going to be machmir and consider wine from them, the wine that they touch to be stam yinam, right? You know, they blessing on their head. But those that are going to be make will have what to rely on. So most people don't get to that part. Most people, you know, when this tshuva is quoted, they just quote the middle part about, yeah, so you see that he really just denied this entire thing. So even the Binyan Tzion doesn't deny the entire thing, right? He still says Hamachmir Tavo Ala Bracha, that a person should avoid getting themselves into these issues. But he is the one, I believe he is the originator of the idea, in print at least, right, that Mechale Shabbos Bezman Hazeh are not really qualified as the old school ones, right? They're not considered mumrim for the reasons that he spelled out. So this is echoed by several, and Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva on the topic as well. Rav Moshe Feinstein actually has several tshuvas on the topic. What's interesting about this one that I put, this one, right? The one on the back is hold off on. The one on the front is there's a few. I forgot which one I decided to put. Oh, this is where he tries to figure out why is it that a Mechal Shabbos for Heskia is dafka a problem. He says usually when we consider which is worse, a ganav or a gazlan, right? A ganav is a secret robber, and a gazlan is a one who does it in public. So who's worse? So we normally assume a ganav is worse, right? Because he's afraid of man, but not afraid of Hashem. While the guy who's a gazlan, he's not afraid of anyone. Right, so Rav Moshe says, well, all of a sudden this is the opposite. Here we're considering the public desecrator worse than the private desecrator. Right, so what happened there? So he explains that what is it? What's it all about? Right, it's all about really just denying, denying Hashem, rebelling against Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right, he says if you would be Mechal Shabbos in private, so that would be considered, right? Why do I want to be Mechal? Well, I can't help myself, the college football game is on. Right? So okay, so you're Mechal Shabbos L'Tayavon, right? That's not considered a mumar, that's somebody who just can't hold back and wants to watch the game. It's the guy who does it in public that he demonstrates he has no inverse. So at the very end he discusses the wine a little bit. Aval Elu, I don't know, start four lines from the bottom, where he says, Aval Elu, Shalo Yiduim L'Shomrei Torah, Yishlem Din Mumrim L'Chol HaTorah, Behem K'nachrim, Ve'ein L'Hachshivim K'omer Mutter K'dil'el. Right, he says, those that, I'm sorry, we shouldn't have started there. V'lachein, let's start the last paragraph. V'lachein, Elu Mechalei Shabbos, She'yadua, She'shomer Mitzvos HaTorah, Ve'osim Rak L'Harvachas Mamon. He says, those people that are Mechalei Shabbos, and they know what Shabbos is, and they're doing it because they want to make money, right? Ashi Yodim Chomer, even though they know it, they feel terrible about it, they know how bad the Isser is, right? Yishtam Gadlosh Einim K'Nachrim, V'ein Lehem Din Mumer L'Chol HaTorah. There's a good reason to say that they're not Nachrim, and they're not like Mumer L'Chol HaTorah. V'kol Shekein Be'elu She'yadua She'gam Shomerim Shabbos B'davar She'einu Nogeya L'Farnasa, and certainly those, who keep Shabbos? You got Shomer Shabbos b'davar she'inu nogei leparnasa. Certainly, if they keep Shabbos for things having nothing to do with their parnasa, right? She'ish lomer she'inu kumumrim. Right? It's a good reason to say they're not mumrim. Aval elu shelo yadum leshomrei Torah yish lahem din mumrim. Right? Those that don't do it at all, so then they would be judged as mumrim. L'chol haTorah v'heim k'nachrim v'in l'hachshivim k'omer mutter. We're not going to consider them like omer mutter. Right? V'chein kas. Right? So he's actually seems to come out a little more machmir than the Binyan Tzion. Right? V'chein kas be'igros yeradeya. Right, it would still be a good idea. It sounds like on all of them to passel their yenam. Because Moranza Tzab, because Moshe Rachaim, Simchachil, Besofu Shel Inyan, Shchitaso V'Yeno, Havei Mechal Shabbos for Hesia. With regards to their wine and their shchita, they're going to be considered for Hesia to Avon. The truth is, it's a little odd why he's quoting Moran. Who's he quoting when he says the last part? He says v'chein kasav maron zatzal, and that's what maron, meaning our master, said in Igros Moshe. But it's signed. Right? So this tshuva is from the last sect from Chila, not the last, but the second to last. Also the first of the two volumes of Igros Moshe that is posthumous, that was printed posthumously, right? But yet it's still signed Igros Moshe. So it's a little unclear to me who did that, right? That's a little odd. I don't know what to do about that. Maybe somebody else wrote the tshuva. Maybe that's what you would write, and he signed it at the end. I don't know. That's a little
obvious. Okay. Anyways, so that's one issue. And then one other thing to just quote here is this last on the back of the page is Rav Moshe has a little bit of an odd tshuva where he says, "What about an im negias murmel chal shas v'yayin osarto v'mutter liten lo yayin lishtos?" He actually deals with this question head on. So, nu, are you allowed to give him wine to drink? Right, and he says v'etzem. So here, Rav Moshe comes out l'kula. Right, v'etzem lo matzina v'poskim shemurmel shabbos osi yayinessa. We don't actually find that b'feirish. And he says even the Beis Yosef, where he quotes it, Hevi mitshuvas harashba shem Rabbeinu Yonah, the mumrel chal shasar v'hesio so osheino maimin v'divrei chazal who min v'yenu yayinessach. Right, even though the Beis Yosef quotes it. And it's quoted in the Nekudas HaKesef in the beginning of Chav Chav Dalet Al Taz, okay? About Av Shehevi Zeb Beis Yosef, Lo Hisker Shulchan Aruch, right? It's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, right? Which is always somewhat of a questionable proof, right? But he said it could be that maybe the Shulchan Aruch didn't actually pass in that way in the first place, right? Nekudas HaKesef, Lo Hisker Zeb Beshach, Shein Kein Mashma Shalom Mavur, Lehu Leisr Mamish, Aval Akopan, Ledina Nagu, we do have this Minhag, right, not to drink wine that a Jewish mumar touched, l'chal shas v'fahesia. We have a minog not to drink it. He says, however, upashet she'ein minog zanech shav minog lifso k'lacha kamoso. Then he goes into a paragraph, which I based on a Gemara, which I didn't have a chance to figure out, where he says that, but it's not binding, that when even though there's a minog klal Yisrael, if it's a minog klal Yisrael l'hachmir, it's not binding. I don't know what he meant by that. I've got to go back and figure that out. I have a feeling that has interesting ramifications for other things. But he says, in terms of giving him, he said he thinks one has the right to be makel on that. Right? We're not going to be machmir about giving them wine. Right? It says, and even if you say that maybe we don't have this, the reason that we don't have the minhag to file this is only because we're concerned of Eva, still, it's not our minhag, and therefore it's not going to be a prohibition. Maybe you have this minhag, who suffik b'isr d'rabban, and you have the right to be mekel. It's not so clear. So the truth is, Rabbi Bleich, and when he's quoting this shuva, he kind of scratches his head and says, Rav Moshe seems to be assuming that the minhag is to be mekel on this. He doesn't think that that's true, right? He thinks most assumed to be machmir on this question. So he raises questions about the whole thing, and he actually says that, you know, it could be that it's in the eighth chelik of Igros Moshe. If Moshe didn't actually see it, then he's not necessarily sure whether Moshe actually would agree to that. So anyways, this actually comes out, after reviewing it again, this comes out more machmir than I remember, right? That is, we're going to try to be machmir on this. The poskim seem to try to be machmir on this tin about having Mechal HaShabbos over. The best way, obviously, to deal with it is, right, to have a bushel wine, and then one does go ahead and solve these problems. Okay. Yeah.